If I had to live my life without you near me, the days would all be empty. The nights would seem so long. With you I see forever, oh so clearly. I might have been in love before, but it never felt this strong. Our dreams are young and we both know they'll take us where we want to go. Hold me now, touch me now.
Shanti, good morning. As I went inside and I welcomed Brother Sachin, so I told him, "How are you, sweetheart?" And he played such a beautiful song that was chosen by him. And he played this song for y'all, "Nothing's Gonna Change My Love for You." So, Baba says to create newness in knowledge. So, you see that he has just already spoken and manifested a particular divine quality of newness by playing such a song. So that was such a beautiful song. It reminds you of your college days and young days, and also with Baba. And Brother Sachin is a very easy and a very, fast Rajyogi. Baba says to expedite your effort. And he's the last so fast, so first yogi, like Baba says, you know, go first and when you come last. So he has gone very, very fast, and he's sustaining all the Brahmins across India, all over the world. People are listening to his classes. He comes very early to Pandav Bhavan to do his efforts, and at 5 o'clock, I wait to hear his blessings, because he explains in English the blessings, and he's a very creative way of doing it. And his name is Sachin, and the word Sach means truth. and in is inside, so the truth inside, it naturally manifests in him. He's like a walking encyclopedia for me whenever I see him. He has so much of knowledge. He has taken all Baba's ocean of knowledge inside him. He's a doctor by profession at Global Hospital Research Center, and he has a lot more other credentials which if you go to hospital, you'll come to know. He has traveled extensively all over the India and world and giving lectures and creating a lot of bhatti. And today's Murli is highly applicable to him. He has literally manifested the victoriousness and the powerfulness and the elevation Baba spoke to Kumars about and inspired. Rather, I should say us, because I'm also a Kumar. So he's like a Sanjay, you know, for the blind. Like Sanjay is a character in Mahabharata who's basically addressing and speaking to Dhritarashtra, a person who's blind. So, you know, in the world, people are blind. So when we give knowledge to them, we are like Sanjays. So he has demonstrated that role a lot in the Yajna of late to all the Brahmins. And he's like a Jagdish Bhai, you know, who I listen to a lot personally. I was groomed by Brother Jagdish. So he is for me like that, and I listen to his classes with a lot of passion. And today's topic is law breaker to law maker. Again, a very creative way to put it across. Normally we are lawmakers and we break the law, right? So he says from law breaking to lawmaker. So enjoy the class and welcome Brother Sachin. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Good morning. Every time I hear to the brother, I feel the way he speaks is so attractive. You feel like to listen to him. So long back, it was a time in India when Gautam Buddha was around. And there's a beautiful story of a great robber. Probably everybody knows about that robber. He used to cut fingers of people after killing them, and he would make a garland of those fingers, and that's why he was called Angulimal. That means necklace of those fingers. And he was not so bad in his youth, but circumstances forced him to become like that. In fact, he had gone to the University of Takshashila, which was like Oxford of India that time. But he was denied some plots by his colleagues, and he was turned down, came back, and then later on, even turned away by his parents. He was walking on the road, robbed by a robber, and ultimately he decided that I want to become a robber. So there is a story of this man, Angulimal, whom everybody used to fear a lot. There was a highway and people would not go there. So such a thing was going on, and Mahatma Buddha happened to pass by that way one day. And he had 999 fingers and only one was remaining, because his aim was to kill about 1,000 people, take out their finger and make a garland out of it. So only one was remaining. So suddenly he faced Gautama Buddha and he starts running after him. But Buddha is always one step ahead of him. And ultimately, with lot of anger and fury, he says, stop there where you are. And the Lord Buddha says, I have already stopped. When are you going to stop? You are running, not me. You are continuously running. So he says, the Angulimal, the robber says, give me whatever you have. And Lord Buddha says, I have love, compassion. And that's what I can give you. Again, the robber says, you are afraid because I am the most powerful person on this earth. And out of fear, you are talking all this because of my terror. The Lord Buddha says, if you think you are the most powerful person on earth, can you do one thing for me? And he says, yes. He says, pluck some leaves. And he does that. And then the Lord Buddha says, now attach these leaves back to the tree. And then he thinks for a moment and then says, it is impossible, what are you talking? And the Lord Buddha says, what are you doing? You are killing people, innocent people, so mercilessly, when you cannot give them life, and suddenly there is a transformation, and he falls down at his feet and says, pardon me. Lord Buddha says, you have to go back to people. They will give you. You are their criminal. And the story goes, he goes back. And then he becomes a monk. But then again, people try to kill him, thinking that, how can such a transformation of heart take place? And so ultimately it is shown that he dies in the lap of Lord Buddha. So that's the story that goes. He was a person who was a criminal, and he turned into a saint. And when he died, Lord Buddha said, he is the saint who is dying in my lap. There's a huge list of people who turned from sinner to saints. And how that happened? Probably the deep transformation of the heart. Probably a deep realization of something which is going on wrong within their hearts. And at that moment, they changed, a sea change happened. The same is true and is written by Saint Augustine in his book, Confessions of Saint Augustine. He has not committed a single sin which is there on this earth. He writes, everything he committed, everything, every blunder, every mistake, every immoral sin. And then suddenly, at one point of time, he changes. And then people think of him or revere him as a saint. So this happens. And we have seen in the path of devotion this happening time and again, how the person changes. Earlier, they were law breakers, and they turn into law makers. And then there were people who were following them. And then they became an example, a beacon, a lighthouse for others. So, such thing is known even in the path of devotion. Now, as regards Brahmin life, I'll tell one more thing. That Angulimal tells Lord Buddha that everyone hates me. Nobody loves me in this world. So Lord Buddha says, I love you unconditionally. And that one sentence makes him fall down at his feet. One thing you can be sure, nothing gonna change my love for you. Baba says to everyone for us, whatever you are, I don't want anything. I just ask for one thing. What is that? Your love. Your unconditional love. You love me, that's it. I don't want any other thing from you. And whatever you are, I accept you as you are. And definitely he has accepted us as we are. And he loves us above everything. So, in today's Avyakt Murli, Baba said very elevated things. Every thought of ours, every action of ours, becomes the law for the new world, becomes the memorial in the path of devotion. You are the fortune of the new world. Your fortune is the fortune of the new world. So whatever you do, whatever you think, If there are waste thoughts, there would be waste thoughts in the world, because you are at the center. Yesterday morning, whilst doing Amrit Vela, I had a very beautiful and a very powerful thought whilst doing Amrit Vela. And the thought was, I am at the center of the universe. If this is the earth, I am at the center of that earth. And from me, the divine vibrations of purity are emanating, spreading out across the world, across the globe. I am the center point of this universe. Everything depends upon me. Everything depends upon my thought, my emotion, my awareness, my dreams, my drishti, my vritti, my speech, my action, my behavior, my intellect, my sanskars. Everything depends. I am at the center of the universe. You can try this. It's a very powerful thought. I am a supremely pure soul at the center of the universe, and rays are going out from me everywhere. All those who are on the orbit, even they are receiving my rays. Baba said in today's Murli, everything depends upon you. Those Chief Justice, even they take your name, they don't take their own name. They take your name or they take the name of God. On the path of devotion, they worship Santoshi Devi, the goddess of contentment. That's your memorial. Everything that is happening in the path of devotion is your memorial. You are so much important. So how much careful, how much attentive I have to remain regarding my own self, regarding my internal world. What is happening within me? So, we are going to discuss some of the laws. But in this I am not going to discuss about maryadas, about the codes of conduct, which we break many times, unknowingly, unwittingly. But some deeper laws of life, some laws of universe, and we have to go from that law breaking business to law making thing. Because every time we break law, we break Srimat, something happens. What is that something? Repentance, guilt consciousness, anxiety, insecurity, frustration, loss of courage, loss of concentration, and then asking eternally for pardon. This is what happens. You break the law and you suffer. But then again you commit the same mistake. And then again you go through all of these stages of frustration, of insecurity, of fear, of loss of concentration, of loss of courage, of repentance, of guilt consciousness. If you look across the Brahmin family, everywhere there is this loss, this guilt consciousness somewhere hidden within. I should not have done this way. I should have done something else. This is what Baba wanted me to do, and what I did, why I did, what was that moment, what forced me, what circumstances, why I became so weak, so imbecile. So, we will discuss some of the laws. These are the effects of breaking the law. And probably many of us have gone through these stages. And they are very horrible stages. They are like living hell. As if you get caught. Recently in one Murli the word had come, jailbird. You enter the jail just as those prisoners, habitual criminals, they keep on going to the jail and coming back. We also sometimes have those psychological prisons where we enter after breaking the Srimat and then come out. But then the speed reduces. So, what rules, what codes of conduct, what laws we are going to discuss? There is a list of maryadas, there is a list of rules of Brahmin life. You should do Amrit Vela, you should listen to Murli, you should do traffic control, eat food in Baba's remembrance, do evening yoga, keep chart, and all those things are there. But there are different rules. We are going to discuss some of the laws of Brahmin life. In fact, they are the universal laws of life. And if we break them, what is the result? And how can we become lawmaker from lawbreaker? And the first law is the law of attraction. It's quite well known and many people know about it. Like attracts like. A lot of work has been done on this. The earliest, somewhere in last century, by James Allen, when he described in his book how the thoughts are responsible for everything. And many of the recent people have a lot of work done on this. Norman Vincent Peale, Atkinson, and many other Western philosophers. So this is one law. Whatever I think, that thought is somewhere going in the universe. It is attracting similar thoughts, and then some reaction is taking place, some chemical reaction, and situations are getting created. So every situation that is coming to me is the result of my thought. I am attracting situations. And if right now bad situations are there, adverse situations are there, uncongenial, unfavorable situations are in front of me, they are also the result of my own thoughts. This is a very subtle law of universe. And Baba has mentioned about this a lot. Though he has not used the word law of attraction, but if you study the Avyakta Murlis of 70s, the same concept has been echoed in those Murlis. And whenever I break this law, I suffer. Suffer very subtly. What I think the moment I get up in the morning. How is my Amrit Vela? What thoughts I generate in the morning, and then the result of those thoughts would be seen throughout the day. That's why this morning time is so important. Just going and sitting and trying to become bodiless is one thing, but also to create some elevated thoughts, very, very powerful thoughts. New imagination, new visualization, new drills. Just as I mentioned one, that I am at the center of this universe and I am emitting out vibrations of peace and purity. Each and every soul is receiving those vibrations. Every element is receiving, every particle of the element receiving those vibrations. So doing this makes me powerful. So any thought you can create, taking the globe in hand, or one more exercise is, think that you are sitting on the stage of Diamond Hall, and in that Diamond Hall, entire Brahmin family is there. On one side teachers, kumaris and mothers. On other side all kumars and all those other brothers, half-brothers, or brothers who are in Gyan. So entire divine family is in front of me at Amrit Vela. And such strong waves of positivity, current, purity, powers are coming out from me and going to every one of them. Because I have to sustain the divine family as well. All the powers are coming to me from above, and from me they are radiating out. An exercise. Then third, you can emerge all the souls of the world in front of you. All the souls, no matter what they have done. and then create a strong link with all of them, that I am connected with each one of them. They belong to me, and start spreading out pure and positive energy. So I which see myself as energy, I see others as points of energies. And there is a transfer of energy, transfer of spiritual energy. So that is one experiment. So in this way, every day, new experiment, new thoughts. So the first law is law of attraction. And one thing, knowledge, the meaning of knowledge is in use, not just accumulating points. You have very little knowledge, but if somebody is trying to apply it immediately, he will be more profit. For example, a tourist comes to Gyansarovar and he reads some slogan and that touches him. And he goes and his life is changed just by reading that one line. Well, we read it every day. And it's a commonplace thing for us. It has started making its effect upon our mind. So the importance of knowledge is in application. Whatever you have heard, whatever you have written, immediately try to apply it. Whatever that comes in Murli, in yesterday's Sakar Murli it had come, Baba gives Sakash to each and every child. Baba gives searchlight to each and every child. Baba gives current to each and every child. Baba gives light to each and every child. If it is he is doing, let me also do. Whatever his sanskars are my sanskars. So, work on this. And somewhere we will find that we are breaking this law of the universe, this law of attraction. I create negative, so negative comes to me. I create waste, waste comes to me. I create a strong discontentment within me. And I find similar situations. We find in our medical practice, there are certain people who are very poor. Okay? So there are 5 members in the family. So a little kid gets admitted with some problem. So the father comes to me and he says, oh, see, I don't have money. And still every time he is complaining about money, 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 money. See, my younger child got admitted. Next day he comes, again he says, my wife is not well and she got admitted somewhere. Again there is a list of complaints. So every day he is coming like that with some other complaints and there is a negative aura. And the more negative is created, the more negative situations are created. So whatever we are doing, whatever is happening to us, it is the result of my own thoughts. It's a very, very subtle thought. Everything that is happening is somewhere the result of my own creation, my own thoughts. So let me work at the level of thought. There are 4 levels at which we work. First is action, superficial. Go deep within. There are thoughts. Go even deep within. Feelings. These are the 3 levels of humankind. Actions, thoughts and feeling. And even behind the feeling is something which is known as detached observership. Where I just sit and observe things. Let me not work at the level of actions. I do this, I stop doing that. I was doing this, now I don't do that. This is not the level I want to work at. I want to work at a very, very deeper level, at thoughts and emotions. And then the things would be very different. So, just check. Am I breaking this law? The second law is law of balance. Entire Brahmin life is all about balance. It's not about going to extremes. Because whenever I have tried to go to extreme, something else has happened. It's like pendulum. You know, when the pendulum goes on the right side, it's actually gaining momentum to go towards the left. When it goes towards the left, it is actually gaining power to go towards right. So it's never at one place, it's just going like this. Mind is something like this pendulum. Sometimes it's extreme purity, and then suddenly when it reaches the stage of purity, it develops some attraction for impurity, and again it goes towards impurity. And then when it's towards impurity, suddenly there is a guilt consciousness and person comes to back to purity. I just give one example, but it happens in many matters. Whether it is food, the same thing happens. Sleep, same thing happens. Some of the habits, same thing happens. We try to seek the path of extremes. In Sanskrit, there is a quotation, Ati sarvatra varjate. Extremes should be avoided in all cases. Strike a balance. There were two acrobats, one a girl and his and her father. What they used to do, they used to tie a rope, two sticks, a rope, then the father would stand and on top of his, on his shoulder, the daughter would stand. And then she would have some stick on her head and some apple above that. So the father said to the daughter one day, "You concentrate on me and I will concentrate on you so that we don't fall. You pay attention on me and I will pay attention on you so that we don't fall." The daughter said, "No, father. You look after yourself and I'll look after myself. Then only we will be able to play." That's how it works. So, just as those acrobats walk over this rope, there is a balance and there is a beauty in balance. And Baba says, where there is a balance, there is a bliss and there is blessing. Strike a balance in Jnana, in Yoga, in actions and Yoga, in Sadhan, Sadhana, whatever facilities you are using, your internal efforts should not get diminished. There is a huge list of balance which we have to strike. Just check your own self. We have to check ourselves. What balance I am losing? Even food, even sleep, there should be good balance. For a yogi life, balance of two things is very important. Sleep and food. We see some people go to extreme. They try to reduce the sleep and then there is a disaster during the day. Even food, overeating and then no eating, fasting. This is a pendulum, how it moves. Striking a balance, knowing that I don't have to go to extremes anywhere. And whenever I will break this law, there would be some disturbance in life. I don't want to break this law of balance. Again, there would be, as I said, guilt consciousness, frustration, insecurity, fear, loss of courage, loss of concentration, anxiety, something or other will happen. Repentance. I don't want to go in these seven caves. These are the prisons. Seven prisons. I don't want to enter into any one of them. The moment I break the law, I enter into one or the other prison. Stop myself. I have to stop myself from doing that. So, that is the second art or law of this life. The third is the law of cause and effect. This is a very important law of karma. Whatever is the effect, find out the cause of it. The cause is hidden somewhere. There is nothing to be shocked in this life. I cannot say, why this has happened suddenly? I was doing everything so well. You know, there was one Kumari in Gujarat. And she was so good, very good, as if full of all the divine virtues. She was in Baba's Gyan. And very much cooperative, all virtues, everything was in her. And one day, as she was crossing the railway crossings, suddenly she lost the balance and the train came and crushed her and she died. It was a very horrific death. long back in Yajna. And then they tried to, there was a Sandeshi, a trans messenger, and she was sent to Baba to ask why, what was the crime done by this girl, why she died like this suddenly, while she has given happiness to so many. And the Baba sent a message. Baba said, Baba loves that girl, that soul, loved that soul so much that whatever sins she had committed in her past births, suddenly all accounts got cleared just because of this one event. So don't feel sorrow for her. She will take back birth in this Brahmin family again. So that was the thing which Baba had said long back. So whatever we see, there is definitely some cause to it. This law of cause and effect is known as the great law of karma. It is the first law of karma. Cause and effect. Karya karan. Let me understand this. If such a particular situation is there in my life, there has to be a reason for this. I cannot keep on blaming the situations. I cannot keep on blaming persons. Even my past. There is definitely the cause. Let me trace that cause and work at the level of that cause. This was the reason. That's why this is the manifestation. If I can correct this, definitely the same thing, the same mistake, the same difficult or adverse such circumstance will not arise again. So working at the level of cause. If there is a disturbed relationship, okay, two persons are there and their relationships are absolutely disturbed, there must be some cause. And most of the time we will find it's the ego. Nobody wants to accept defeat. Somewhere deep, they have their egos, which are at loggerheads, conflicting egos. And in the battle of ego, who is the winner? Loser. In the battle of ego, the loser is the winner. And the winner is the loser. You can etch this statement on the slate of your mind. Whenever there would be ego conflicts, and if I win, that means I am defeated. So, the law of cause and effect. From breaking this law, let me become the maker of this law. You know, whatever we are doing here, the same thing would be followed in Golden Age. The same thing would be there in the Golden Age. Everything would be the result, is the result of this. That's what Baba says every time in Murli. Your every thought, your every action is having a long-lasting effect. It's aftermath. You can know right now. So that's the third law. And let me not break it. And you know, if you break the traffic law, what happens? Fine. You have to pay the fine. It's not about fine, but what about thought, sankalp? So many thoughts get wasted when any such thing happens. So let me know the laws so that I cannot break them. The next law is the law of donation, giving. It has come in today's Murli. The deities, they keep on giving. All the devotees, they keep on asking. And you are going to become those chosen Ishtadevtas, deities. Your work is to give. Keep on giving right now. This habit of giving should become a sanskar. I don't want to ask anything. I don't want to beg for anything. Begging is in fact a sanskar. It can land up you in financial slavery also, if you keep on asking for money. It can land up you in spiritual slavery also. Begging for anything, begging for praise, for appreciation, for acknowledgement, begging for care, attention, love, power, peace, purity, anything. Begging is after all begging. We are kings, not beggars. And the law of donation means law of giving. Keep on giving, keep on giving. Whatever you feel, give. We have in abundance. Existence is rich and Baba has provided us with everything. We have pure thoughts, not just the subtle treasures, but even other treasures we have with us in abundance. So law of donation. And whatever we give, the same come back to us. You know, Rabindranath Tagore had written a beautiful collection of his poetry, Gitanjali, for which he received a Nobel Prize. In that poetry, there is one poem, poem number 50, where a beggar who goes out every day to beg for something, and one day he goes out and he sees a golden chariot coming and king is there, and he is overjoyed, thinking that now I will go and immediately ask the king for something. I am going to get a big donation today. But to his utter surprise, he finds that the chariot stops and the king comes and spreads his apron and says, please give something. And he is shocked because he had never given something to anyone. He had always asked. So he is surprised, confounded. He says, what is this? The king says, an astrologer predicted that our kingdom is at stake. Somebody is going to attack us. And if I go out early in the morning and ask for somebody, and whosoever meets me and gives me even one grain, we will not get defeated. So please, for the sake of kingdom. So that beggar puts the hand in his small bag and he is unwilling. He catches the grains and then leaves. Holds and then leaves. And somehow he takes just two grains and gives to king. And king is very happy and goes back. That day, that beggar gets such a huge amount of alms and he comes happily at home. So wife says, oh, you have got so much today. He says, it's not so much, two grains are less, because he had given to king. But they found that all those grains have turned into gold except those two. Sorry, those two have turned into gold, rest are as if grain. So he repents like anything. Just an imaginary story showing that if you give, the same thing turns into gold. The same thing comes to you. But he was so miserly in giving. So only two grains are turning to gold. So, you know, this act of giving, there's a great pleasure in giving. There is a great sorrow in holding on things. Give them. You know, if you hold a rope tightly, what happens here? It becomes red. Leave it. It's very much relieving. So, the law of giving says to us, keep on giving. If you don't have anything, give good wishes and pure feelings at least. To everyone. Whomsoever you meet. This is also a good act, that I have to give current to each and every soul. The moment I see anybody as soul, let me send out pure and positive vibration. Some people ask, what sort of sakash we should give? We don't understand, because some souls are in this world, we are always fighting with them. And I don't want to forgive them. What should I sakash I give? So the best sakash one can give is pure and positive vibration. Just two words. Pure and positive. From here, pure positive vibrations are going to that soul. That's it. I am not asking for pardon, I am not forgiving him, nothing. Just sending out pure positive vibrations. There are people who hate me, there are people who are opposed to me, there are people who criticize me. What should I do to them? There are people who are non-cooperative. There are family members who don't listen to Gyan. What should I do with them? Just send out pure and positive vibrations. So that's the law of donation. And then the next law of endurance. Endurance means tolerance. In Hindi, Baba says, if you tolerate Sahan, you will become Sahansha Emperor. The more one tolerates, increase your capacity to tolerate. And toleration starts from gross to subtle. Tolerating this scorching heat of the sun, that is also tolerance. Rather than becoming a complaint box and start complaining why it is so much heat, why there is so much rain. This is nature, this is a season, will keep on changing. Tolerating things, that is gross. The subtlest is people, their opinions. Sometimes I cannot stand somebody's opinion. I feel it is foolish stupidity. They don't have any substance in them. But to respect every soul is to respect their thoughts. But I have to respect their thoughts. You know, we have a small group of people. We discuss Gyan every day. And there is one person in the hospital who is illiterate, unlettered. His only job is to carry file from this department to that department. That's the only thing he does. Because he has not studied in any school. But he comes every day to listen to Murli. But he doesn't know how to write. He listens, that's it. And hardly he remembers. One day we were sitting and discussing a very deep point of knowledge. And everybody was coming out with their ideas. And when all the ideas were exhausted, we thought, any other idea anybody has? So this person, this brother, he came out with such a fantastic new idea, we never thought that even such a thing can be there. And as I said, he is unlettered. But such a beautiful brainchild came out from his mind, idea. So, law of endurance, it is not just enduring, but it is also respecting their ideas. Also valuing their ideas, not belittling them. So that is the law of endurance. Then there is a law of focus. What is law of focus? The rays of the mind, the light of the mind are like the beams. If they are focused, they can do anything. You have a Murli with you. Now read this Murli. And your mind is wandering here and there and there is no concentration. Can you remember it afterwards? Not at all. Can you understand what Baba has said? Not at all. Now you have only 10 minutes, but your mind is in a stage of concentration. Read it once and you can recall it. It's all about sharpening the mind. You know, Abraham Lincoln had said somewhere, if I am given a tree and an axe and 6 hours, I will spend first 4 hours in sharpening the axe. I don't want to start cutting the tree. I want to sharpen the axe. This sharpening is making the mind concentrated. So the law of focus means increasing concentration. And one of the methods is just sitting anywhere in the campus or early morning, close the eyes and try to listen to all the subtle noises of nature. Some chirping of the bird, some gush of air, some breeze, anything. Try to get focused. Or read Murli once, keep it aside, and now try to recall what I read. Even after any class for that matter, whenever you listen to any class, the moment the class is over, stop, and while it's going from here, try to remember what all things were said. Was there any new point or everything was just stupid? What was the new thing? Or it is the same repetition of the same thing which I know and which I have heard many times. Or there was something new in this. If there is something new that touches some chord within, let me hold on to that point. Let me expand it. Let me go into the depth of that point. understand it in all its dimensions. So, law of focus. Increase the concentration span. Increase the concentration span. Find out different methods to get concentrated. And the best thing is to recall. That makes one concentrated. Whatever that has happened, try to recall it. What you read, try to recall it. You listened Murli, came out from the Murli class, whilst you are going for breakfast, try to recall few points. While eating, try to recall what were the points. This recall will make you focused. Zero in on particular thing. So law of focus. And then, the next law is the law of gratitude, thankfulness. This is a very, very beautiful feeling. Thanking everyone. We'll just sit in meditation for 1 minute. All of you just sit alert. And bring in front of your mind everyone who helped me, everyone who was cooperative, everyone somewhere or other in life, because of him I reached the place where I am at present, who brought me in Gyan, who made me understand things of life, mysteries of life, even those who opposed me, and let me thank everyone, even the five elements of nature, and above all, Baba. Let me thank everyone who helped me in this Brahmin life. This feeling of gratitude has got such a strong positive energy. Let me just thank everyone from the bottom of my heart. To my parents, my friends, my colleagues, let me express a deep sense of thankfulness to all those souls who work with me, who do service with me. Let me also thank those souls with whom I have a very strong karmic accounts. The sense of gratitude would definitely lessen that bitter account. I thank all the situations, the difficult circumstances that came to me, for they taught me so much. Let me abide by this law of gratitude every day. All the subtle complexes, the intricacies which are within me, am getting rid of them. Let me spread across the world the wave of gratitude. I am the center of this universe. Emitting out pure and positive vibrations across the world. Today, how much important I am. Everything depends upon me. My every thought is so important. My emotions, my feelings, they are the support of this world. I am the center point of this universe. Laws of the universe and my mind, I see complete harmony, a deep resonance. And then there is law of humility. This law says accept. Accept things as they are. Accept people as they are. Don't try to change people. The only change that I can bring about is in my own self. I don't have to sit and judge people. Let me just do one task. And that is changing myself. And first of all, I accept. The deep sense of acceptance makes me humble, induces in me a sense of humility. And the more the humility, the more the receptivity to accept new things and new challenges. The more the humility, the more would be the deep internal power to understand situations, persons. The law of humility. And then law of inspiration. This law says, don't wait for anybody. That somebody would come and motivate you. Somebody would come and inspire you. Become your own inspiration. Become your own inspiration and become the inspiration for the world. And how do we do that? By taking out points of self-respect from Murli. That Baba is saying so great things to me in every day in Murli. Take up any one point. Go in silence. Go in solitude. You know what Brahma Baba used to do? They would go on that Baba Pahadi, that rock, Baba rock, and he would ask those daughters, those younger sisters, to go and sit at different places. And for 1 hour, just churn one self-respect. I am an imperishable soul. That's it. Very simple. Take anyone and churn it for 1 hour. This is how the knowledge we imbibe. This is how the knowledge becomes the part of my thinking. So, let me become my own inspiration by taking out some points from Murli, going in silence, sitting alone, and churning. Churning is a stage of deep silence. And I think in the Brahmin family, churning is fast fading art. We want to listen, we want to write, we want to do all other things, but we don't want to churn. Because churning is a difficult task. You are given one line, think about it. What is it? Think about it from all dimensions. But it is really an effort to think. It is the most difficult thing, thinking. And churning is all about thinking. But once it becomes a habit, it happens automatically. You know the story of a teacher who sends the five students, they are blind, to an elephant. But this teacher is not telling the classroom, he is telling this story to the classroom, but he is not telling that those five people are blind. So he asks the students, tell your opinion about the story. You all have heard about the story. Five blind people, and they go and they see elephant. One says it is like trunk, one says it is like wall, and so on. So the teacher tells this story to students and tell what are they. But he does not tell the student that these people are blind. So the student says, each one of them is an expert. Expert means, because they are not told they are blind. Expert means who is specialized only in one thing. You want this? This is something very deep to churn more. So, churning more and becoming expert in churning. That's the call of the time. So, law of inspiration. And then, law of maturity. Spiritually mature person means somebody in yesterday's blessing, it was there. I am upset, or to step away, or to resort to thinking of others and speaking about others. Chintan, parachintan. Baba said, this is Ravan's thing, not yours. Give this up. So, spiritually mature person means who is not easily upset. Spiritually mature person means who is not easily disturbed. One of the classes recently, Dadi Janki had said, the power not to get disturbed is very less in Brahmins. They keep on getting disturbed. Every small thing disturbs them. Somebody comes and says something, I am disturbed. Somebody behaves in a wrong manner, I am disturbed. This is not the sign of spiritual maturity. Spiritually mature person means no crying business. If you want to cry, that tears should only come for love of God, nothing else. Why we should waste our tears for crying for the things of the world? You know, Mahatma Gandhi had said somewhere, people keep on shedding tears, buckets of tears, for the death of their wives, husbands, children, but who is the one who sheds tears for God? There is hardly anybody. They keep on crying and crying and crying. So spiritual law of maturity says, you know, somebody had said a picture on WhatsApp, two deer. One deer was there, one arrow stuck and he fell down. Another deer, the same deer, after many years, is sitting like this with multiple arrows, but not fallen down, is sitting alert, is standing strong. also with all the arrows of life, the one whose tongues stand strong, immovable, unflinching, that is the sign of spiritual maturity. And to get disturbed by every small thing. Room is not good, this is not good, that is not good. Weather is not good, what we should do. This is not the sign of maturity. The sign, this is the law of maturity. So one must learn to become spiritually mature every day. Every day should see me more mature than yesterday. And then next, law of just now. Law of just now. Living in this present moment. Rather than wasting time in brooding over the past, rather than thinking about future worries, anxieties, let me live in this moment. At this moment, what is going on? You know, at this point, what are we doing? We are sitting here and trying to churn knowledge, trying to understand knowledge. Let me live in this moment. Rather than thinking that after the class, I have to go to Pandavan and then take food. And then my sleep should be good. And when I am taking sleep, I am thinking of the class. And when I am doing that, I am thinking of something which is in the future. Let me live in this moment. When I am eating, I am only eating. When I walk, I only walk. When I sit, I only sit. When I listen, I only listen. Living in this moment, because we don't know what is going to happen the next moment. Future is uncertain. The only certain thing we have is this moment. And then there is a law of optimism. Optimism means positivity. You know, there was a bhatti long back in 1971. All the teachers were called and Baba had given them a task that write down 10 points of virtues, 10 good qualities of your colleagues. So they took 1 hour. They took more than an hour. It is so difficult. If Baba had said, write down bad qualities, Baba would have said 10, they would have written 25. Because we know them. They don't get up at Amrit Vela. We saw them many times sleeping during Murli also. And they were talking too much during food. So many we have. Just immediately we can scribble. But Baba said, write down 10 qualities, some good qualities of your colleagues. So every sister, they took almost 1 hour to write. It's such a difficult job. To see positivity, not only there, in persons, but in situations also. You know this, Thomas Alva Edison, in 1910, in America, everything was burnt. His all laboratory, his research work, that building in Thousand Island, everything was burning. So his son came running and said, Father, what is happening? He said, nothing, call your mother, she will never see such a scene afterwards. Such a beautiful scene, see. And he made a very remarkable statement. He said, look, once he rebuilt everything. And this had come in 1952, Reader's Digest, written by his son, Thomas Alva Edison's son. So, look, things. If somebody would have been there, he would have gone totally mad. My all research work, everything is gone. Even this, another person is there, Thomas Carlyle. He had written a book, French Revolution. It was just manuscript. It was not published. And they were just papers. So his friend came and he gave that book to him. Friend said, I wanted to just read. So he took and friend went home. And the friend was sitting with those books and he went somewhere. The servant came and thought these are just waste paper. She took all this and put in the bonfire. And everything was burnt. And when this friend got to know, he felt so repentant, penitent. What answer he will give to Thomas? So he goes and tells him, but Thomas Carlyle doesn't say anything. Not a single word. And remember, it is a book on history. To write history means so much facts and figures one should have. And he rewrites from his memory everything again. So what book is available right now? The world famous French Revolution. That is the second book Thomas Carlyle had written. So, love. We were discussing optimism, seeing optimistic things everywhere. In the worst of the situation, there must be something positive. Worst situation. There must be something positive. Only thing is that I have to search. Search and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Ask and it shall be given. And then law of purity. This is the greatest law of Brahmin life. Whenever the law would be broken, remember, the guilt consciousness would be vast. If the purity is broken this much, the guilt consciousness would be four times. That's why be very strict regarding purity, regarding celibacy, regarding brahmacharya. Keep on reading about purity every day. Keep on reading about brahmacharya every day. Keep on reading about celibacy every day. Keep on practicing self-respects of purity every day. Our purity should be unspoiled. Purity should be unadulterated, spotless, stainless. This is the highest effort of Brahmin life. Never compromise on purity. Never go develop such relationship with any soul that you drag yourself into body consciousness and physicality. There should be a dignified distance between two souls. Whenever two souls try to come very near to each other, this familiarity, this togetherness, this intimacy ultimately drags them down. And they say, from the conclusion, coming to the conclusion that all spiritual friendships, more or less, someday or other, are converted into sensual friendships if the sword of knowledge is not there in between. They fall down. So law of purity. We have to become the maker of purity, not the breaker of purity. So the law of purity. And then law of quiet. Quiet means quietude. Quiet means serenity. Quiet means peacefulness. The more quiet I remain from within, there would be quiet outside. The more there is a peace within my heart, the more peace I radiate. The more there is a peacelessness, the same thing would come in my words, in my behavior somewhere. Some irritability would be there outside. If there is an irritability outside, probably the inner peace is missing. And I have to become more and more body, soul conscious then. And then there is a law of responsibility. Taking responsibilities for failures. Taking responsibilities for mistakes. Let me take upon myself. Yes, I am responsible for this. This has happened and I am responsible. Let me not escape from responsibilities. This has happened and I am responsible. Law of stability. The next is law of stability. To remain spiritual stable. I'll give you one homework. Write down 7 steps to spiritual stability. What are the 7 steps? Throughout the day you can churn on this topic. What are the 7 steps to spiritual stability? If I want to become spiritually stable in life, what I should do? It's a very beautiful topic to churn. And every churning would be different. Because that churning, let me first apply this to myself. The next law of transformation or change. Every day I should be different. What I was in the morning, I should be ahead of that this afternoon. And the last law of unity. United we stand, divided we fall. This Brahmin family is a united kingdom. Not that united kingdom. It's a united world. Let me be part of that, this united world. So these are the 21 laws of life, 21 laws of universe, 21 laws of Brahmin family, 21 laws of this beautiful new life of each one of us. This is the few I have given. You can make them into many and churn many more. But the important thing is that some laws I may not be knowing, but I am still following. Only thing is that when I am soul conscious, automatically all laws I follow. The moment I become body conscious, all laws are broken. And I suffer from guilt. And the worst of all the emotions in the world is guilt consciousness. If any one of us is suffering from it, immediately try to come out of it. Write a letter, write it down, or express before somebody confession, contrition, and come out of it. Because this is a very damaging emotion. Very, very damaging emotion to feel that I have done something wrong, I have done something wrong, I have done something wrong. So, we are law makers. If I break the law, everybody would start breaking the law. Just imagine if Dadi Janki goes to some restaurant and eats something there, will her purity get disrupted? She is a yogi of 80 years. Yogi, do you think that if she eats something prepared by somebody outside, something will happen to her stage? No. But she will not do this. Why? Because if she does that, everyone will follow her. It is not the question of that, that her purity will or something will happen to her. Not like that. Everybody will start following that in the similar manner. If I break some rule of this family, some rule, some regulation, some code of conduct, some maryada, everyone will start giving my example and start following me. And I would become a cause of their downfall. So I don't have to break any law. So from law breaker, I want to become law maker. And that has also come in today's Avyakta Murli. Thank you. Om Shanti.